heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the weeds. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A garden is a beautiful thing, a relaxing thing to be in, and an oasis of peace. It has been said that you are nearer to God in the garden than anywhere else on earth. Flowers and trees of intricate beauty proclaim the glory of God. But have you ever seen what happens if you leave the garden to God? This was my experience in the first house that I lived in. And about a year in, I realized that if the garden was going to look good, then I had to do something as well as God, if it was to resemble anything other than an overgrown jungle. And so it came to pass that once upon a time, I did some gardening. At the time, my 6-year-old niece was staying with me, and she volunteered to help. So I set about weeding, and I asked her if she would take the weeds away after I had pulled them out of the ground. Well, as we worked, she chatted away about how enjoyable it was to be gardening. And after a while, I looked round to see how we were doing. And there, spread across the whole lawn, was every weed that I had just pulled up from the ground. "Look how beautiful it is, Uncle Jason," she said to me. All I could see was more work I had to do when she was in bed. A garden is a beautiful thing, a relaxing thing to be in, and an oasis of peace. But thank God, there are gardeners that you can pay to make sure it looks and stays that way. The weeds that grow in gardens can obscure the beauty of the flowers and the plants that grow there. Weeds can be a nuisance, a pain. But when they are planted deliberately to damage the other things that are growing, it can be a much more serious issue. And it is just this issue that Jesus uses to help his followers deepen their understanding of the kingdom of heaven in a parable known as the parable of the weeds. And this story is only found in the gospel according to St. Matthew. And it has all the hallmarks of St. Matthew's literary style, not least the use of the phrase kingdom of heaven, a phrase only used by Matthew, but also that beautifully dramatic and evocative language of the gnashing and wailing of teeth. It is also a story that would have quickly struck a chord with those who were listening to Jesus. For sabotage in agriculture was a common occurrence, and Roman law dealt with it severely. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven was like this. A farmer sows seeds, but under the cover of darkness, a competitor or an enemy sowed weeds among those seeds. For those who are interested, the word used for weeds is zizania. This is sometimes translated as tares and sometimes as darnel, and it is a troublesome plant for the farmers, for it is similar in appearance to wheat and can only be identified easily only when it is ripe. It is urgent that this is removed prior to milling, for if the two are milled together, the flour will be spoiled. And so Jesus tells us that the farmer is patient. He knows that the two are now intertwined and that pulling up the weeds would damage the grain. But when the time of the harvest comes, the two are easily identifiable and the weeds are now cut, and only then is the grain harvested. And then later in the passage, and unusually, Jesus explains the parable. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. St. Matthew certainly had the skill for getting his readers' attention. And with this dramatic explanation, our attention is focused on the weeds. The parable is not about the nature of the wheat, but about the struggle of the wheat with the weeds, and about the outcome of that struggle. The wheat and the weeds grow together. So intertwined are they that it is hard to tell them apart as they grow until the harvest comes. Patience must be exercised until the time for harvest comes, for then and only then will all be recognized for what it is. This is a parable that pulls no punches. It makes clear how difficult discipleship is. We must live in the present, but we must live the present with what we hope the future will bring. It is not difficult to lift the images of this parable out of St. Matthew's Gospel and place them into the context of our own world. Wheat and weeds grow together, and we live in a world where all that is good mixes with all that is not. The world is scarred by the weeds of violence, hostility, racism, poverty, injustice, fear of the other, lies, and hatred. And sometimes these are so subtly exercised that it is difficult to see them for what they are. This is the world in which we live. We live in it, but not of it. For those who seek to walk in the footsteps of Jesus live by a different value system, one that is shaped by the hope that Meredith preached about so powerfully last week. We live in the hope of transformation. We live in the light of God. And like the wheat, we are called to live and grow alongside the weeds, but not to live like the weeds. We are called to shine with the love of Christ in a world that is so often filled with darkness. We are called to live the love of Christ in a world so often dominated by fear and hatred. We are called to share the love of Christ in a world so often dominated by confusion and division. We are called to shine, to live, and to share the love of Christ. And we are called to do it amongst the weeds, amongst the difficulties of the world. We are called to live out this life in our families, in our faith communities, in our politics, in our economics, in our national life, and in our international life. We are called to live in the present, to live right here, right now, even when it is hard, and to live for the glory of God. The idea of living a life following a different value system from the one associated with the world was once expressed very beautifully by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She lived her life among the poor and the needy and sought to love them with the love of Christ. She said, "People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, others may be jealous. Be happy and serene anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and your God. It was never between you and them anyway. When we look at the world, it is easy to focus on the weeds. Such behavior fills the news and seems to be dominant. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to challenge such behavior through the way we live our lives, the way we shine, the way we love, the way we share. We are called to be that light right here and right now. For these are the values that will endure. These are the values that, when the harvest comes, will enable the garden, indeed enable the world, to be beautiful once again. Amen. We sing the hymn, "Christ Will Come Again."